Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. We are talking King George this morning, and we welcome back our favorite King George supervisor, at-large supervisor, Ruby Brabo is here this morning. Ruby, it's good to have you back. Good morning.
Thank you. I enjoy being here. I appreciate it.
You have been a busy person. You have really, in your time with being on the board, and especially once you became board chairman, being able to really get the rural word out, both on the state level and the national level, with a number of just different legislative committees that you serve on.
Yes. So especially involvement with the National Association of Counties has afforded me the opportunity to bring the rural county perspective at the federal level. Currently, I am the South Region Director representing the 12 southern states in the nation, and I serve as the Vice Chair of the Veterans and Military Affairs Committee, in addition to serving on the Agricultural and Rural Affairs Committee and the Rural Action Caucus.
Those kind of the meetings that you've been able to go to, I know in talking over the years when Bill Howell was Speaker and he would talk about going to different legislative meetings and things he would go to around the country as Speaker, and said that it was really helpful for him, that you get ideas.
Absolutely. It is a wealth of information. Not only that, it is a great network. You meet people from all over the country that truly can become a valuable resource when you're looking at different things in your community. But why reinvent the wheel if somebody else has already had a similar challenge and they have found a way to address it successfully? So especially with regards to King George County and our limited resources, if we are able to simply take an idea that has been a success somewhere else, a proven, with proven metrics, and able to implement that in our community, it's much more cost effective.
Oh, I'm sure there have been different times when you've, in talking to your colleagues or seeing through meetings, and have come up and thought, you know, that would work perfect for us.
Yes, absolutely. I would say it's been through attending those events that we really have learned a lot about creating public-private partnerships, and that's really been our focus over the last year, especially with regards to trying to renovate some of the buildings that have been vacant for some time, such as the old Ralph Bunch High School, the old middle school, and even looking at possibility of being able to renovate where the current school board office is located through these public-private partnerships. The cost for our capital improvement plan is exponential in order for us to accomplish all of these things, in addition to addressing the current needs of the community. So any way we can find a cost-effective means to do so benefits our taxpayers.
Yeah. Well, and I know public-private partnerships, everybody's looking for them, and I would think that they're even especially, like you say, when in just naming that some of the things that you named, it more important even in vital for a rural community to be able to get that money that you might not normally be able to get.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, it's a win-win for everyone. It's unfortunate that the public-private partnership we were trying to create for the Ralph Bunch Museum and the old middle school was not successful in coming to fruition. But if you can have a developer come in and renovate that to meet the needs of our community and have a guaranteed lease through the county itself, yeah, in order to serve our needs, seems like a win-win because he's guaranteed that revenue for 20 years or so.
So what is the status with the Ralph Bunch?
So unfortunately, the developer pulled out. Yeah. Even after the county agreed to pay to put in the new well there, we felt like it would benefit us to pay for the well and retain ownership of it, because the intent was for us to create a well system that would allow for continued expansion, because we were selling the developer only 3 acres with the building and retaining the other 30 acres there for future development by the county.
Well, I remember being there when the historic sign went up, and just walking around that building. I mean, that building has so much history, and it will be nice someday when the county is able to do something with it, and it does go back into use.
Absolutely. I mean, we felt like we did as much as we possibly could. We were selling the building and the 3 acres for a dollar. We were amenable to rezoning it so that he could convert it into condos. Again, we were willing to pay for the new well to be put in. I just don't know how much more we could have offered.
So I guess in that case, then now you're just it's back to the start and just looking for someone else who might be interested in working with the county and doing something.
Yes, absolutely. We would love for someone else to come forward. We have lots of ideas. I think we are more than ready to think outside the box and work with someone. We are willing to entertain any offers and all considerations.
The other thing in talking with you, Ruby, about. Just serving. You got a terrific honor about being for female legislators, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Local and state legislators. For 2017, I was named as one of the top 25 elected women in the nation. I had the great opportunity through Governing Magazine to attend their Leadership Institute for Women for 1 year, where they fly us to different areas in the country for a weekend, and we get to learn from each other as well as hear from great speakers. And I just went to the alumni reception in Rhode Island last month because they now have named 100 of us. So I'm part of the top 100. And the book launch listing the top 100 women in the nation should come out by the end of this year.
What a terrific honor. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you ever think when you got into, how did you get into local government?
I actually was the president of my homeowners association in Chatham Village in King George County, and the developer had left without completing the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. It was a new subdivision because the county had failed to do the inspections and had released the bond to the developer. So as the HOA president, I was at almost every Board of Supervisor meeting demonstrating documents to them that they had failed to do their due diligence, and therefore it was upon them to pay to complete the infrastructure. And so they wound up paying to complete the infrastructure, and I started receiving phone calls from people all over the community, people I'd never met or heard from, saying you should run for office because you're not afraid to call them out.
And interesting. And there it began.
There it began. That's right.
Interesting. I guess we probably talked about this before, but I had forgotten that was the story. And then, I mean, I guess to make the – a lot of times it's difficult when people do that to be able to make the jump from kind of being the activist to being on the board. But you've been able to do that.
Oh, yes. I will tell you, there's a lot to learn. I felt like my entire first 4 years I was drinking from a fire hose. There truly is a lot to learn.
That's what people
about
say.
Doing this. And I think a lot of people, when they run for office, myself included, truly have no real concept. If you're going to do this job and do it well, you read a lot of documents. I don't think I've done leisure reading much in the last 7 years. I read so many documents.
I guess just to get ready for the next meeting and the next issue, just so you're up to date and understand it as well as you can.
That, and also in response to citizens who send you inquiries. Mm. A lot of times I receive inquiries from citizens, but I'm not necessarily familiar with the issue that they are mentioning. Or in order for me to give them a thorough answer, I need to do a lot of research myself on the matter.
Well, I deal with a lot of local politicians and elected officials. Nobody does social media like you do. There is nobody who does. You do a really good job of keeping your people informed.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I actually have been told that a number of times. I actually have been asked the last 2 years to teach the social media class through the Virginia Association of Counties. I this past spring, I taught the class to all the new elected officials in local government. So I'm glad that I can set the example. I thoroughly enjoy keeping citizens informed, and any means to do so, I try to use.
It is hard for a lot of people to stay, and a lot of people don't stay up onto things. But in your case, and for King George residents, they have no excuse because you put it out there and you know, ask for comments and give a lot of good information.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So you should be teaching social media courses. Ruby Brabo here from King George. She's an at-large supervisor. We are talking King George this morning. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
So.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Music. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We are talking King George this morning with at-large supervisor Ruby Brabo. And Ruby, boy, one of the bigger issues in King George going on these days, and it's been continuing, and I know it's been tough for the board to deal with this, is the whole service authority. I'll let you kind of explain what's going on, because the state's been involved, and it's been a mess at times.
Yes, it sure has. It's a very unfortunate situation, to say the least. I will tell you that 2 years ago, Chris Worley was appointed to the board of directors at my recommendation. And I will say this, he brings a wealth of information to the board. It's just a very unfortunate situation that because he is not an elected official, he is a citizen appointee, he doesn't go through the same training that a newly elected official does. We are sent down to Richmond for 3 days for very intense training where we learn about conflict of interest laws, Freedom of Information Act laws. We learn about not making unilateral decisions and not withholding information from other board members. And then when we serve as vice chair, we get sent to another 3-day training specific to serving as chairman. And that was sort of overlooked as a citizen appointee, that they do not receive that same type of training. So not trying to necessarily excuse Mr. Worley's actions, but just sort of put that into perspective, because a number of citizens have questioned as to why he has been allowed to remain on the board. Not only that, Mr. Worley served as an officer in the military, and they are accustomed to being able to make decisions.
Right, yeah.
So that said, it was quite shocking to all of us to be blindsided in March to learn that these violation notices had been sent by Department of Environmental Quality for 2 years, and that the general manager at the time had literally been non-responsive to them. Obviously, that's unacceptable.
Boy, that puts the, you know, like you say, with the board not knowing, that puts the board and the county in a real tough spot.
Yes, especially because now here we were basically backed into a corner, facing the consent order and facing the fines.
Yeah.
So, because it had been ongoing for 2 years without our knowledge, so now we were trying to play catch up and understand the violations and understand what we needed to do in order to rectify the situation. So that said, changes have been made. We have an interim general manager in place, and we are taking corrective action very, very quickly to address everything that the Department of Environmental Quality had noted as a violation. Majority of those violations this was all on the wastewater side. Majority of those violations pertained specifically to, training, which I will say, it's very disturbing to learn that there were no standard of operations in place. And at the end of the day, it was even more disturbing to find boxes of parts that had been ordered 2 or 3 years ago still sitting in an office, and they had never been used to repair equipment. So that was money that had been spent, and you cannot help but wonder, had those parts been utilized to repair the equipment, yeah. would any of those violations possibly have not been incurred?
Yeah. Boy, that's got to be frustrating.
Very frustrating.
To look at a lot of this and just say, if we had only known.
Yes, yes. So, you know, we thought we were moving forward. We thought things were progressing well. We negotiated a great what we felt consent order with Department of Environmental Quality, and we had been told all along that everything was fine on the water side. Everything was fine on the water side, but our new interim general manager decided that he should at least reach out to the Department of Health just to set up a meeting and make sure of that.
Yeah.
And as folks will learn tonight at our meeting, we unfortunately we have 2 years worth of violation notices on the water side. But the key point is for people to take away is at no point was the water unsafe. The quality of the water is fine. The violation notices on the water side, for the most part, all pertain to training and operations. Again, I really need to stress to folks that at no point was the water quality ever found to be unsafe. But once again, you have 2 years worth of violation notices that were non-responsive by the general manager at the time, and the board of directors was in no way aware of this situation.
Will this mean more fines then for, because I know there were some fines on the wastewater side. Will there right. be some fines then on the water side?
So at this point, the health department has told us there will be no fines, since I guess basically we have reached out to them and they recognize that the board of directors was not aware, and that we will address these training issues immediately.
Okay. But again, you can't emphasize enough, because as soon as you hear about water violations, and you immediately think, oh my goodness, but the water has been safe.
Yes, it certainly has. There has at no point been any indication that our water quality was at risk.
So moving forward now, Ruby, what happens? Can the board put into some more safeguards in there to keep track of this better in the future?
So I think what has really been brought to the forefront is the need for the board of directors to be more engaged, more involved, and spend more time. Unfortunately, King George County, for the most part, has been of the mindset that their elected officials and their board of directors should serve part-time only. For 35 years, they only paid $5,000 a year, and
yeah.
That basically equates to 5 hours a week. As of January this year, the pay was doubled to $10,000 a year, which basically equates to 10 hours a week. When you look in the surrounding region, the other elected officials are all paid more, to include Westmoreland County. But I think what has been proven is, in today's time, to expect an elected official or a board of directors to truly do their due diligence and stay on top of things requires more than 5 or 10 hours a week.
Yeah, oh, I can't imagine.
Now, that said, my first 4 years, I worked, almost 80 hours a week. I said I was doing this full time,
right.
And I have always done it full time. Now, I've scaled back. I probably only put in about 50 to 60 hours a week now. But the point being is, not everyone is going to put in that kind of hours
right.
for $10,000 a year.
Yeah,
they're just not going to do it.
Well, and it's a good comparison too to mention Westmoreland, because Westmoreland is closely, I mean,
sure.
they're two similar counties.
Yes, absolutely. And Caroline County pays even more.
Really?
Oh yes, Caroline County gets paid $26,000 a year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And those are, and like you say, not everyone takes it as seriously as you have,
yes.
And so to get people to be interested in this and to spend the time,
yes,
you may have to bump that up.
Right. Now, that said, I will say Mr. Worley, the chair of the service authority, he has dedicated full time to the service authority. And Mike Bennett, the new citizen appointee, has done so as well. I can honestly say the two of them have probably put in almost 40 hours a week, both of them, since they were appointed just dedicated simply to the Service Authority. It's just unfortunate, like I said, that Mr. Worley didn't understand that he needed to share all of that information with the rest of the board members.
Yeah, I was just going to say, boy, that you look at that one little piece.
Yes.
And how a lot of things could have changed.
Yes. But that said, folks really ask, why would we continue to allow him to serve with us? We would not have any knowledge, nor would we have received the FEMA grant for the Fairview Beach shoreline erosion if it were not for him. He brought that information to our attention, and he personally wrote the grant for us. So there's a lot of things like that. With regards to the DEQ consent order, it was Mr. Worley who compiled all of the information into the Excel spreadsheet and presented it to DEQ, and they were quite impressed, to say the least. They even stated that none of their employees would have had the time to have been able to put together such a document. Hmm. So, you know, folks need to recognize that Mr. Worley brings a lot to the table. I think he recognizes his mistakes and understands now going forward how things are to be done. And this is something that we are looking at going forward with these citizen appointees, is maybe internally, since they are not allowed to attend the elected official training, internally, how do we provide that training to them?
Interesting. I did not realize about the training aspect, even the training that you received.
Yes.
So that's interesting. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Ruby Brabo is here. She's the at-large supervisor in King George. We will continue when we take a quick break here. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubert.
We're talking King George this morning with Supervisor Ruby Brabo. Ruby, before we move on to some other things, really interesting when you were talking just about the training that local elected officials receive. That I didn't know it was that extensive, but boy, that covers a lot of things. And when you look at some of the things that you talk about, some of the conflict of interest or some of the other things, when a lot of people when you see that then being violated locally or with anybody, you think, boy, it'll make me think from in the future, you had training on this.
Yes, absolutely. They received training on it, and both the National Association of Counties and the Virginia Association of Counties hold annual meetings where they continue to offer workshops on various topics. There really is no excuse. You are provided all of the information in a workshop as well as in documentation for your reference in the future.
Boy, the training is. I know General Assembly members go down and get a lot of training before they do, but I didn't realize it was so much so for local officials.
Sure, it's just as important for us.
Yeah,
we need to make sure we're not violating the law as well.
Well, and we talked about when we started about how you've gone around to some of these national meetings, and it does show the importance of some of these groups. In some of these meetings, because I know I've talked to some supervisors who, just like you, have said that they have learned and just get so much knowledge and just kind of the networking that they're able to do.
Absolutely. The wealth of information that is provided to us, the access to the resources that we have through those websites that are established is amazing. And not just that type of information, but even the cost savings, because the overall contracts that are afforded by us all being a membership, then the counties can utilize those resources at a much greater cost savings than if we put out an RFP, a request for proposal, and had to just simply do things internally. So anytime we can utilize either the state association or the national association overall umbrella contract, we do so.
It's so interesting. It's so easy sometimes, I think, for elected officials to say, oh, we shouldn't be spending this money on that. And,
the
you
return
know,
on investment right. is huge. The membership that you pay each year is based on the population of your community. So it's very fair and equitable. And again, the return on investment that you receive far outweighs that minimal cost for the membership.
Boy, and you've been able to, just through these, I mean, you really have been able to go and fly the banner for rural counties.
Yes, absolutely.
And when a few years ago when you first came in and we talked, I mean, I could just see that you just have a passion for making sure that rural counties get what they should, but also that people understand what the struggles that you have too.
Sure. I think really the biggest impact that I've been able to have in the last few years has been against the Environmental Protection Agency's desire to set local targets in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. Currently, targets are set by state, and then the state collectively works with each city and county in order to meet those goals. And 3 years ago, the EPA decided that they wanted to set targets locally by city, by county, that would be into perpetuity and basically would have constituted in a no-growth policy. There would have been no more development, and especially for rural counties, that would have been a death sentence for us if we could no longer continue to grow through economic development. So, I took that resolution to the National Association of Counties. I had support co-signers from colleagues across the nation, as well as Penny Gross right here in Fairfax County and Paul Trampy in Spotsylvania County. And the resolution has passed now 3 years in a row. So the National Association of Counties has continued to advocate against the EPA's desire to set local targets. And we have been very successful in doing so. So my point here is that passage of that resolution through the membership makes that a platform that the National Association carries up to Congress.
Yeah, boy, and you got to feel good about that.
Absolutely.
That's a huge thing, especially when you think about King George and where you are in the Northern Neck and what the that would have been just a devastating thing, and for someone somewhere around the country who didn't pay much attention to it, that would just look at a couple of lines and think, yeah, that's a good idea. We should do that, mm-hmm. not understanding.
The true impacts, correct. And I will say, this right here is a perfect example of why membership in these associations is so important. Because if King George County weren't a member and I never would have attended, I never would have known that venue was a means for me to be able to block the EPA's setting of local targets.
Mm. And it shows that when it's a real issue, and if you were able to articulately explain it, and that anybody can do it.
Yes, absolutely. Any supervisor who wishes to attend and participate. In my opinion, every county should be a member of the State Association and the National Association, and every Board of Supervisors should designate at least one member to participate in the State Association and the National Association, because that person can bring that information back to the rest of the board in the county.
Ruby, what I like talking when we talk about these issues, I mean, you've got opinions on things, and you're connected. I mean, you're not just going through the motions. I think too often people will get elected and they've got their one or two issues, but I mean, you've become. You may have started out with your homeowners association, but you have taken this seriously.
I like to help people, very much so. And I will say this, if it's important to a citizen in my community, then it needs to be important to me. I represent the citizens. So that is what drives me to look at all issues, I guess. I don't have an agenda. My agenda is whatever the citizens feel mm-hmm. is important, or in this, for example, like with the EPA, or what might be a detriment to my community. So I always try to look out for the best interest of my community and what the citizens feel is important.
As far as King George and in tourism, I know you're always looking for new avenues of things. So where do things stand right now? You happy where everything's at right now?
I'm very happy. We set up about 2 years ago a tourism advisory committee comprised of a number of great citizens from different tourism entities in our community. They have been working diligently to create a brochure, working on our 300th anniversary celebration, which will be 2020, vetting applications for use of the tourism funds. And I will say I've been very pleased with a lot of things that have happened recently. So I want to give a great shout out to Michelle and Brett Darnell at Belgrove Plantation, James Madison's birthplace.
What a great place that is, by the way.
Yes, it is. And on August 1st, they celebrated their 5th anniversary in business. And I will tell you, it is always great to see a new business come into our community like that and be successful and stay. The county is all about supporting these small businesses. Their bed and breakfast and wedding venue that they have there is phenomenal.
It is.
What a tremendous asset to have it open now to the community when it was a private home for so many years and no one had access to such a facility. It is absolutely fantastic. If you have not taking the time to drive out to Belgrove Plantation, I highly recommend that you do so. The other exciting news is Jeff and Marcia Stonehill purchased the old Kusenberry home, which was the marina in Dahlgren, and have renamed it the Machotick Creek Marina. And we just had their grand opening last week, which was phenomenal because we now have another public access point on the water. With so many limited points in King George County for access for water recreation, it was absolutely fantastic to see this reopen and be available for our community. And then the Dahlgren Railroad Heritage Trail just did their 50K and half marathon on Saturday. One of the greatest assets in our community is that 15.6 mile trail. And I'm always excited to get out there and do anything on the trail.
I was just going to say the Dahlgren Trail and the trails in the city are just two places that if you want to get out and exercise and just get out for fresh air. But yeah, the Dahlgren Trail is a terrific spot.
Yes, it is. And I love that they host these events on the trail. I have run the half marathon on the trail the last few years. Unfortunately, I missed it this year. But I have thoroughly enjoyed, biking and hiking and running on the trail. It is truly one of the greatest assets we have in our community.
I did not realize that the 300th anniversary is coming up. I mean, right around the corner.
Yes, it is. And a lot of great things are being planned by the Tourism Committee. It's been very exciting, too. I don't know if you recall, we had the military exercise in our community. They actually will be coming back again in September. When they came out, one of the tasks that they worked on for us was helping us to create the brochures and advertising for the 300th anniversary. And they did a fantastic job.
That will be exciting for the area because just a few years ago when Stafford had the 350, that was exciting. But this is right up there.
Yes, it is. So I don't know all the details at this point. Maybe that's something we can do in the future is bring Sandy Pearson in here and she can give you more details about what all they're planning. But I'm sure it'll be fantastic.
I was going to say, we'll definitely do a lot of shows in the future on talking about that because just the history and the things that are, I mean, King George
has a wealth of history. Absolutely. Yes. One of the things that I have requested of the Northern Neck Historical Society is that they hold the Leedstown Resolution reading in King George on our 300th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
They always hold it over in Leedstown. But if you know, Leedstown was part of King George back then. Now it's part of Westmoreland. But back then, it was part of King George County. It would be nice for the 300th anniversary if they actually held it in King George.
Well, when I ask you about tourism, there really are some exciting things taking place. And when you talk about tourism, there are always things probably that even behind the scenes that you know about that you can't talk about yet. Things are happening in King George County.
Yes. So we also have some things happening related to economic development. So we're always following the broadband discussion, and our economic development director, Ryan Gandy, and his I'm sorry, Annie Kupka. I'm not sure of what her new title is, but she's also our grant writer, and she works in the economic development. But they have been attending different broadband planning initiative meetings and working with the governor's office and trying to develop different things. And then, of course, if you read about the two doctors in our community that we were very concerned about losing, they both fortunately were able to secure new umbrellas in order to be able to stay in our community. So the pediatrician actually moved over to the new urgent care that opened up in Dahlgren and fell under the umbrella of Peds Plus. And Dr. Detwilder wound up being picked up by Mary Washington, which was wonderful.
Okay.
Because we felt like we were facing a crisis there, losing what few medical we had when we were trying so hard to keep it.
The whole broadband, I guess for all rural Virginia, and even parts of rural Stafford and rural Spotsylvania, everybody, that's the big issue now.
It sure is. I will tell you that Michelle Wido and her husband Steve and their company, they have been working very closely with the county in leasing a number of our assets, and they've been very successful in trying to expand broadband into rural areas of the county. They've already launched in certain areas, have paying customers. Those customers thus far have communicated to us that they're paying less than they had been paying for their previous service and receiving much better service. So we are hoping that they will continue to be successful in expanding throughout our community.
Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Ruby Brabo, the supervisor, the at-large supervisor in King George, here this morning. We are going to wrap this up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Opinions, we've all got them, and we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
King George Supervisor Ruby Brabo, our guest this morning, as we talk King George and other things. Ruby, talk to me about, I just found out about this, about the county and your the debt mitigation plan.
Yes. So we were at a point where the entire revenue from our landfill, $7.4 million, was simply being utilized to pay the interest on all of the debt that the county had accumulated over the years. They had used the revenue from the landfill as leverage to borrow rather than cash funding their projects. When I was first elected 7.5 years ago, there was actually a bright yellow billboard on 301 in Dahlgren that said, "Welcome to King George County, population less than 25,000, debt over 100 million." So I have wanted to address and get this debt under control since being elected. I now have an entire board that agrees with me. And so that being said, for the last 2.5 years, we have cash funded everything except for the middle school expansion. And this year, through working with our financial advisor, we have created a debt mitigation plan. When you look at the life of the landfill is limited. And if we were, when the landfill is expended, that $7.4 million equates to a 28-cent increase on our tax rate. So we need to get this under control today, not tomorrow. And so this was the first year where we made our first payment towards that debt mitigation plan. And we hope to continue moving forward with this and be able to, hopefully in the near term, be able to take that entire $7.4 million that we receive from landfill and put it towards projects rather than interest on debt.
Boy, how exciting is that?
It is extremely exciting, and it will definitely set King George County up financially in the future. It was a little frustrating for some citizens when we did not equalize the tax rate, but we felt it was more important this year to start paying down that debt. And hopefully folks, you know, when you look to the long term, will understand the need. We have to get that debt under control. We have to free up that revenue to be able to utilize it going forward. again, the life of the landfill is limited.
Boy, that's kind of scary.
Sure it is. Absolutely. Because guess what? 20 years will go by very quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be here before you know it. And we can't wait to address it. We have to get that debt under control today.
How long would it take? Do you know, have you looked at a schedule of how long that would take?
It would be nice to, if we could stick to the schedule, it would be, but every board is going to be different and every year is going to be different. If we stick with the plan within 6 years, we would be able to have it paid off. But again, every year brings new challenges, new needs in the community. And I never, remember, one board member cannot make any decision. It takes a majority.
Yeah. Hey, Ruby, how can people get in touch with you? I mean, you got a number of different ways out there.
Sure. My email address is rubyb@co.kinggeorge.state.va.us. Yes, we have the longest email in the history. but you can find me on Facebook at Ruby Brabo, at-large supervisor. You can follow me on Instagram at King George Supervisor. And you can send me an email and request my digital newsletter that I send out as well. And you can always find me at the Board of Supervisors meetings the first and third Tuesday of every month.
And you were telling me that they're televised, you know, you stream them now.
Yes, our new website has the capability to stream them online. You can also make public comment to us through VTC. If you just log into the meeting and make it known that you wish to make public comment, you can do that directly from your home.
Ruby, thank you. We'll have you back soon.
All right, thank you.
Ruby Brabo, the supervisor in King George. Town Talk, financed by Deakin Wealth Management, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your
Thanks
serious
for listening
money.
To Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by Deakin Wealth Management in Fredericksburg, the financial firm that specializes in providing comprehensive advice for your serious money. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own, and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.